But you know, at church, you got a family here, and ain't nothing like it, man. Ain't nothing like it. The Bible says that God takes the lonely and puts them in a family, and that's, well, that's what we are, you know? So God is good, and all the time. Dang, that's right, that's right. Hey, you already getting the word tonight? Let's do this, let's do this. Now, tonight we're going to get into the word. Next week, of course, like Pastor Joe said, is the camp video reunion premiere. Miss Shelby, you're all right. We won't look at you. Miss Shelby McHenry in the back. Wherever she is. Oh, no, she's somewhere around. She might even be making it right now. Oh, there she is. She's behind the computer. She's been crafting and making a camp reunion video. It's been pretty good, pretty tight. It's on point, on fleek. It's looking good. And I saw part of it the other day, and she's doing that thing. We're going to do that tomorrow, next week, popcorn, candy, all that kind of stuff. And then we're going to jump back in our groups in 2 weeks. I know, right? All right. If you guys don't like groups, that's okay. If you do like groups, that's okay. If you don't even know what groups are, that doesn't matter. We got a new little twist that we're working on. It'll be really exciting, especially if you guys like music and stuff like that. Really good stuff coming up. Really good stuff coming up. I'm telling you. But tonight we got to get into this because I was talking this morning to some of you guys over in junior high service, and it's fair to say that we're all in school, right? Who is not in school yet? Oh, there's a group of you guys that are not yet in school. Dang, this is weird. Like, everybody. Yeah, homeschool, right? You're off. Homeschool, as long as you live at home, you're at homeschool. I don't know why this is so difficult, right? Like, to go on vacation from homeschool means you, like, stay at your grandma's house for, like, the year or something like that. Anyway, I don't understand it, but I would never went to homeschool. I was public school all the way. Public school, San G. Yeah, what's San G? San G, Spartan, go blue machine. Spartan love, baby. Gia. Don't get me started. Colton, all right. My wife went to Colton. CHS, Yellow Jackets, right? Did you know that there's a pool? There's a pool on the roof of the gym. You have to, like, buy tickets to get there, though. You have to find somebody to sell you tickets so you can get up. At Colton High School, there's a pool at the top of. Anyway. See, that is not what we want to talk about tonight. All right. Shall we pray? Because we obviously need to pray. Can we please pray? Can I pray? It's okay. Okay, let's pray. Whew. Okay, and if you guys don't know what to do while I'm praying, then you can agree or you can turn to Romans 8 chapter. Father God, we thank you today. God, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your truth. God, we thank you, Lord, that every word that we find in this book is true. God, I pray, Lord, that tonight as we jump into the Bible, as we jump into your word, God, that it would be life to us, that it would change us from the inside out. God, that it would show us the way we ought to go. And Lord, I pray that tonight, Lord, that our ears would be open, that our eyes would be fixed on you, and Lord, that our heart would be soft and sensitive to be changed and molded by your hand. So God, tonight we give you first place. God, tonight we give you precedence. God, tonight we give you our attention. And Lord, tonight I pray that you would do in us what you want to see happen through us. God, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you. We give you place. Everybody said? Amen. All right. Now I'm going to need you guys to pay attention, okay? I know. Otherwise, if you can't hang on the front row, then yeah, it's okay. It's all right. It's cool. I just want to get that out of the way. Okay, so now, listen up. Romans 8:37 it's got to be the verse for the next year, because apparently a group of you guys are not yet in school, but you will be. Now, is anybody excited about the school year? Who is not excited about the school year? Who is senior year? You're a senior already? Sophomore, senior year, wow. Wait, really? We have that many seniors? Class of 2016, where are you at? Dang, Pastor Joe, there's a group of them. You got a group of people here coming up for a shift, man. Dang, that's crazy. Class of 2017, we're class 2017? Dang. Class 2018, where you at? 19? Where's 19? Out of freshman. Oh, 2020? Oh my gosh. Are we serious? Class of 2020 is already coming up? Like, we're supposed to have flying cars by that time. Like, any later than Jesus coming back. Super seniors? I'm praying for super seniors. Okay. Technically, class 2015, the sequel. Okay, and then class 2021, is there any class 2021? Thank you, I saw you. Yeah, whoop, whoop, all in the house, 2021. All right. Now, here's the thing. Is we're rounding out the end of the summer. The leaves are already beginning to fall off of my tree in my backyard. I don't know if that's because I'm not watering it or if that's because it's fall. But the leaves are starting to fall off. So I know that the year is starting to get ready to wind down. And that means everything is changing. And I don't know if this means the same thing to you, but it means that for some of us, things are about to get difficult. You think, Pastor Richard, things are already difficult. They're about to get more difficult-er, okay? Because life is a battlefield. Now, next week is our camp premiere. For those of you that went to camp, you probably have realized this, that things did not get any easier after camp, okay? Can a brother preach right now? Matter of fact, for some of us in this room, if you went to camp, things right now may even be more difficult than they were before. And that's just life. Can an old 32? Am I 32 or 33? Doesn't matter. I don't remember. I think I'm 33. I don't know anymore. I'm just old. I'm just gonna stop counting. If I can tell you something that I've learned is that it just doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. No matter how much you love Jesus, no matter how much you read your Bible, no matter how much you pray, it just doesn't stop. It doesn't stop. You know why? Because life is hard. It is. Newsflash. Life is hard. I know that's not really news. That's just old. That's what it is. Because it's not new. It's just old. But see, that's okay. It's okay. And I'm not here to discourage anybody. I'm just here to say, it's okay because you were designed to be a fighter. You were born a warrior. You're a warrior princess. That's right. You're not a warrior princess. You're a warrior prince. Yeah, you're a warrior. You're barbarian kings up in the house. Okay, somebody level 40 all the way. And you were designed to fight. I know this. The Bible says in Romans 8:37, you know it. If you don't, you need to. If you already know it, you need to hear it again. And after you're sick and tired of it, you need to memorize it. If I can encourage somebody to get a tattoo, which I won't, you should get this tattooed on you, which you shouldn't. I don't need people get mad at me about this. It says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You were born to fight. So if you don't wake up every morning ready to kick some butt, then my friend, you're not doing what you were born to do. If you feel like you're getting your butt kicked from pillar to post, I don't even know what that means. I just know it means something. If you feel like you're getting your butt kicked by life, you need to stop, turn around, because you were born to win. You were born to overcome. No, stop. No, that's wrong. That's wrong. Pastor Richard's preaching wrong. You know why? Because you were born to more than overcome. Because he who's in you is greater than he who's in the world. Because you have the name of Christian. One who is like Christ. And I don't remember reading anywhere in the Bible that Jesus Christ loses. Every opponent that came up against Jesus Christ got their butt kicked, or they got converted and they become a person that fights alongside him. Look, if you can't beat him, you might as well join him, right? And Jesus, you can't beat him. So if you are wise, you might as well join him. See, in your life, school is going to be hard this year, but see, that's not a bad thing, because the greater the challenge, the greater the victory, right? Like Little League, you know what I'm saying? Like Little League, T-ball, like 4-year-old soccer, everybody gets a trophy, right? I know my kid played soccer, and she was kind of like not that good, right? Let's just be real. I know it's my daughter, but like she was ready to quit 2/3 of the way of the game through the game, and she wanted to chase butterflies on the field. And then when the ball came, she'd like get scared of it and kind of run away from it. It's like, but you still get trophies, and that's lame, right? Let's just be real, that's lame. When everybody gets a trophy, then it doesn't mean anything, all right? If you go out and you get ice cream even after you lose, all right? It makes you feel good. I'm glad it makes you feel good. Okay. Brain. Okay, whatever. Now, but on the other end, the Olympics come around once every 4 years, and only the best of the best of the best, sir, get to go. And if somebody wins the gold at Olympics, that means that they are the greatest in the world. There are 7 billion people in the world, and only one person out of 7 stinking billion people get the gold in that event, unless it's like a team event. Then, but you know, that's not the point. Look! Only, literally, you find out who the fastest man in the world is at the Olympics. Could you imagine the fastest man in the world, Usain Bolt, the fastest? I don't know if he's still the fastest man in the world, right? Thank you. That's the kind of award that happens. And you know why? Because they go against the greatest in their field. There can only be one CIF champion. Only one! And it's determined by those who fight the hardest. You know, look, the greater the challenge, if you think, Pastor Richard, I don't know why life has to be so hard. I don't know why I can't catch a break. Pastor Richard, I don't know why people have to come against me. You know what? Suck it up and let's win this battle, because you have Jesus Christ on your side. Look. If you are for him and he is for you, then what do you have to worry about? Who can challenge the Almighty God of the universe? Nobody. Preach that. And if he lives within you, no matter what the challenge is, you can overcome it. You may cry, because you will. You may get angry, oh, because you will. You may get discouraged, because it's going to happen. It may look bleak and ugly, and it may look like it's never going to turn around. Oh, but let me tell you, Jesus is the God of the comeback. He's the God that's he's the God that in the fourth quarter, when you're on your last down, that Hail Mary goes forth from the other end of the field. And look, I'm going to tell you this. It is impossible for God to lose. It is impossible for God to lose. It is impossible for God to lose. God cannot lose. So if it is the last moment, then he will win in the last moment in your life. He is never late. He is never early. God is always on time. Because let me tell you, let us know that in all things we are more than conquerors. The whole chapter of Romans 8, where this verse is, it says, look. The verse before this, Romans 8:36, listen to it. It's written. This is the Bible. It is written. For your sake, we are killed all day long. Got to be the worst verse in the Bible. Right? You ever felt like that at school? Killing me. Killing me, Smalls. This teacher is killing me. These people, killing me. My family sometimes, killing me. All day long. For your sake, we're being killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Sheep in a slaughterhouse, not much of a chance. I've never seen a sheep rise up and overthrow a farmer. Never. Maybe that was in a book, but not in real life. The sheep never, like, there is no sheep in a riot running away from the farm. No. Not going to happen. Nope. Them suckers are getting sheared lamb chops all day. All day long. But it says, for your sake, we're killed all day long. But even though this verse is here, it says, yet in all things. You know what? It means that if you feel like you've lost, it means that it means that the game is not over. There's still something, some way, a glimmer, a shimmer of hope. Because I'll tell you this, even if we do die, I still win because I get to step into the glory of heaven and see Jesus face to face. Look, for the Christian, it is impossible to lose. Because if I live, I live in Christ. If I die in Christ. And I can't lose. If I'm broke, I can't lose. Because that just means that God's going to do something good in my life. If I'm not broke and I'm rich, hey, that means I don't lose. Why? Because I got enough to give people that are broke. Look, if I'm alone, that's okay because I'm not really alone. It means I have time to spend with Jesus one-on-one. If I got friends around me, hey, that's okay because that means I got people to encourage me. I can't lose. If I'm alone, if I got friends, if I got stacks of homework, that's okay. If I got a ton of homework, I got a 5-page report that's due on a Friday, that's okay because I got an opportunity to shine and show my teacher I ain't no dummy. If I got no homework, that's cool because that means I got a chance to play a little bit of Call of Duty, and then read my Bible too. Because if I got homework, then I only have time for my Bible, not Call of Duty.
Right. Oh, Battlefield. Whatever.
And that's just one verse. You see, this year, you got to make a choice. Are we ready to make a choice? Can we make a choice? Can we make a choice right now before it gets too difficult? The choice is this. Is this year, are you going to get it done? Or are you going to let this year pass by and let it just be another year that you just kind of squeak through and make it by? Was anybody here in church, within big church, in adult church this morning? The Australian dude, Al Fury, said something crazy. Crazy! It's one of those moments where, because me and my wife, we sat next to each other, and it was one of those moments where you, like, look at the person next to you, and you look at each other and, like, you like, think the same thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just know you think the same thing. You're like, yeah, that's what we did. And he said survival is not proof of victory. Just because you survived, that doesn't mean you win. God has called you not just to survive and make it through this year. He has called you to do good and great things. 2 Corinthians, Bible says this. 2 Corinthians, I want to read it to you. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, it says, we use God's mighty weapons. You know why? Because you're a warrior made to fight. Not worldly weapons. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down strongholds. Strongholds of human reasoning to destroy false arguments. Does that make sense? Does that make sense to anybody? Okay, let's go on and then we'll explain this. It says we destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. We capture rebellious thoughts. Oh, somebody better hear this. Rebellious thoughts and teach those thoughts to obey Christ. Maybe your Bible says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God to pull down strongholds. Casting down arguments, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity into the obedience of Christ. I know, right? If we're going to do this, then we got to. You gotta look at it the right way, because see, every football game, every soccer game, look, every speech and debate competition, every mock trial tourney, look, every chess tournament. I don't know. I'm running out of things. Every argument that you've ever had with somebody, whether it's your parent or your brother. It's always won first in your head. Look, you only win externally if you first win internally. That's not a positive thing. That's just the way it goes. Like if you lose on the inside, you're guaranteed to lose on the outside. If you're defeated in your heart, you'll be defeated in life. And the Bible says you got to get your thinking to such a place that you are ready. To have victory inside of your heart. The Bible says we use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons. Look, your teacher is not your enemy, your mom, your grandma, your auntie, your uncle, look, the policeman, your parole officer, the yard duty, look, the lunch lady, even though she's serving up some nasty food, she is not the bad guy. The bully is not the bad guy. Your ex-boyfriend, oh, Jesus, is not the bad guy. Look, I know he's a bad guy, but he's not the bad guy. Right? Not the bad guy. Your little brother, not the bad guy. Your big sister, not the bad guy or the bad girl. Look. Look. So you don't fight against these people. You fight against what you fight against the things that are inside of you that want to push you in a wrong direction. The urge is inside of you to punch somebody. The urge inside of you to shout. The urge inside of you to cheat, to lie. The urge inside of you to give your to give your purity away. The urge inside of you to go the places you ought not to go. The urge inside of you to lose faith and stop believing in the goodness of God. Those are the battles you need to fight. You destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God to capture those rebellious thoughts. Here's what I mean. You need to wake up and know that every step, every moment of the day, God is walking with you. Look back in the day in the Old Testament, on the left side of the Bible, you could only meet God at certain places. That was the way it was. You could only meet God at certain places, certain buildings, certain mountains. Because things were whack back then. God was far away, and he wanted to be close. You had to talk to certain people, and only certain people could go certain places with God. It was pretty lame. And it wasn't the way it was supposed to be. Like, God originally designed it, that he would walk in the garden with Adam. Like, where he would go, they would go. And that was the way God wanted it to be. And the crazy thing is, Jesus comes and dies and raised again. And then Jesus says something crazy. He says, you are the temple. You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Do you guys heard that verse before? You're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Do you know what that means? Like, back in the day, the only way you could meet up with God was in the temple. You had to go to a building to see what God wanted you to do. And then God says, I don't need the building anymore because your heart is the building. Your heart is my house. Which means that back then, you'd have to get up, jump on a donkey, take the metro, and get to the temple. And now the temple goes with you everywhere because God, the place that God lives, dwells, is in you. You take God with you. You don't got to go to God. No, God goes with you wherever you go. He will never leave you or forsake you. Where two or more gathered, there he is. There he is. He's as simple as one prayer away because he lives in you and works through you. So when you begin to think, I'm not good enough, when you begin to think this is too hard, when you begin to think I want to quit, when you begin to think, man, I just need to run away, I need to get away from this family, when you begin to think, you know what, I'm going to get in trouble, so I better think of a lie really quick, when you begin to think, how can I get out, stop it. Take that thought and put it under and begin to call God into the situation because he lives in you. You just need to call him and he will answer you. Will you use God's mighty weapons, your faith, your integrity, not worldly weapons, to get the victory? And if you do that, next time your coach is on your back, next time you feel like your mom's yelling at you for no reason, next time you feel like you're the only one, everybody hates God at school, and you're the only one at school that loves God, and they want to get you to do things that you know you ought not to do, when you feel like you're alone and you're being killed all day, you need to switch your thoughts and take them into captivity. Say, look, I'm not going to turn my back on God. I'm not going to lose my faith. I'm not going to give up on this. I'm not going to give in to this, and I'm going to begin to fight back. And because you were born to be a warrior, because you are more than a conqueror through Christ. And that's the bottom line. And when those thoughts come in, I've said it before, I'll say it again, you can overcome it. Look, everybody thinks crazy things, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, you think those thoughts, and you're thinking, where the heck did that thought come from? You're like in the middle of nowhere, and all of a sudden, a thought comes to your head, and you're like, no, get it out. Like weird things, right? Like, sometimes I think, I'm going to be real here, sometimes I'm in a situation and I think, okay, if this guy tries to attack me, I'm going to do that. Right? You ever thought that? Oh, yeah, you think like that super, like the super spy strategy, like how will I subdue the attacker? Right? You never think about that before? Like, all of a sudden, like, if boy just goes crazy, I'm like, how am I going to put boy down? Pat, pat, pat. Go for the knees. Bam. But I know he'd never do that. It's like one of the crazy thoughts. But yeah, but like, you get thoughts like that, but even crazier. That doesn't mean like you're like weird. Well, I mean, we're all weird, but doesn't mean you're like sinful or terrible. It just means that you need to take that thought, whether it's a thought of is God real or whether it's a thought of, you know, something ungodly, and you need to take it into captivity. The saying goes that you can't stop a bird from flying over your head, right? Like, try that one. But you can stop it from building a nest in your hair. You can't stop a bird from flying over your head. Sometimes you just think, or you go places in your heart and your mind that are wrong. But just because it pops up in your heart, in your mind, doesn't mean that you have to entertain it and think about it. You can't stop a bird from flying over your head, but you can stop it from building a nest in your hair. Because you know that'd be weird and stinky. And some people walking around their life, in their heart, they got nests with nasty old vultures in their heart because they let it stay there. Jeremiah 4:14, Bible says, how long will your evil thoughts live in your heart? That's crazy. How long will your evil thoughts lodge within you? How long? Are you depressed? How long are you going to be depressed? Right? Like right now, ask yourself that. If I'm depressed, how long? How long do you want to be depressed? If you're angry, how long you be angry? Are you bitter? Are you mad at somebody? So let me ask you, how long do you want to be mad at them? Well, don't. Well, then stop. Because how long are you going to let it live into you? How long are you going to give it a room in your heart? Are you struggling with a habit, a sin, an issue? How long you want to live with it? Right? Because who's in charge of your life? Right? Who's in charge of it? Your dad? No. Who's in charge of it? Your aunt? Your aunt? Your uncle? No. Who's in charge of it? Your ex-girlfriend? No. She's not in charge of it. That's why you dumped her. Right? Because you dumped her. She didn't dump you. Yeah. How long will those thoughts live within you? Because last time I checked, you're a warrior. Last time I checked, you're the winner, not the loser. Last time I checked, the prophet, the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Pastor Richard, I don't even know what that means. It means you're in charge, okay? That's what it means. So how long are you going to let it live there? Choose. Because every day you wake up and that feeling or that thought or that sin or that habit comes in your life, you have to choose. You do not belong here. You do not have a room. I threw all your clothes in the front yard, okay? I burned all those letters. That's hardcore, right? I threw all those dishes out the window, okay? Because there is no more room for you here because I am a warrior and I have kicked your butt and you don't belong here. You don't belong here anymore. All the towels with your name off on them, I threw them out. Because that's when you know it's serious. I'm not borrowing your shirt no more, depression, because it don't fit good. How long will those thoughts lodge within you? Get it to the out. Out. Satan. That's in the Bible. The Bible says, but all these things, we are more than conquerors. Being killed all day. When Smalls is killing you, you're killing me, Smalls. Stand up and start killing it, not the people. That's not what, not world. You don't remember. You don't. I'm not telling. No, don't cuss out your coach. I know that's a bad thing because he'll just make you do burpees. But yeah, you know. Don't try to get back at your mom. No, but it's a spiritual thing that you fight against. Give it no place. Don't let it build a nest in your hair. You're more than conquerors because your weapons, your battle, is up here and in here, not out here. If you guys got a thing, I got it. Let's give him praise. This is going to be the best year of your life. Not the easiest, but the best. And do you know why it'll be the best? Because you make it. God's already ordained it from the beginning of time. Best year ever. You just got to get it. Get it done. Anyway, that's all I got. So let's do this. Dang, I'm on track. Love it. Hey, let's talk real quick here. Because here's the bottom line. You know, the Bible says some interesting things. Things you don't even realize because we don't read it. And there was this group of people in the Bible, and they thought they were okay with God. They thought they were God's children. But Jesus came around and said the rudest thing to them. He said, you're the sons of God? You're the sons of the devil. That's jacked up. Could you imagine living your life thinking you're okay with God when really you're the exact opposite? That'd be terrible.